One of God's greatest men in the Old Testament was David. God's strongest man in the Old Testament was Solomon. Samson, excuse me. God's wisest man was Solomon. And lust got all three of them. So we better not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Because, you know, we have, in Christ, we have the new nature. And we have the power to overcome sin and the flesh. And sin, you know, Romans says sin won't have dominion over us because we're not under the law, under grace. Under the law, it demanded something. God demands something, but doesn't give the power to do it. And the New Testament says that was to show man he needed redemption, to show man that there was more than just sin. It was a nature that he had to be redeemed from. Adam fell into a nature of sin. And not just, he didn't just fall into sin, he got a sinful nature. So that was to show, the law was to show that man couldn't do it on his own. So no use us trying to do it on our own, because God already showed us that under the law, that you can't do that. But the thing about the New Testament, he said sin won't have dominion over us because we're not under the law, we're under grace. Now that's greatly twisted in people's minds today when they teach grace. Grace is not just something that just allows you to do anything you want. It doesn't. The Bible said people turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. It means just a free lifestyle to do anything you want. That's not what grace is. Grace is the power to live free from sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As well as many other things that grace is. But God doesn't just say, now do this right, don't do that, and so forth. He gives us the power under the New Testament. We're not under the law. We're under grace. And that gives us the power to live free from sin.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So God doesn't just ask us to do something. He gives us the power to do it.
Amen.
And it's not willpower. It's not our power. It's the power of God.
Amen.
But I want to share another side of that tonight that helps me. It really probably was the biggest thing that helped me. How God gives us the power to live free from sin. And I'll be honest with you. It's just the getting the imagination of who we are in Christ, getting that into our imagination, getting that, you know, the Bible talks about be transformed by the renewing of the mind, learning to think right of how God sees us. And we were talking about this morning the power of the images of unclean things that we see, and how that can cause us to become bound by being bound by those images. Well, if that's true and how Satan binds us, Satan doesn't invent, and he never invented anything. You going to get this tonight?
Yes, sir.
He borrowed that from God. That ability. Now, he's against us. God's for us. Satan's against us. He wants to use the very power that God gave us to keep us free. He wants to use it against us and keep us bound.
Right. Yes, sir.
By these lustful things that get in our imagination, like we were talking about this morning. He wants to use what God gave us to keep us free. He wants to use that against us. The very thing that Satan uses to bind men is the very thing that if they'll put the right thing in their imaginations through meditation on who God says they are, then they can walk free from anything by believing what God said they are, who God said they are, and learning to think like that. You know, like if you're struggling with lust, tell yourself, because your mind is being renewed with the Word, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. I'm not bound by lust. I'm not bound by looking at things I'm not supposed to look at. I'm a free man. I am a holy man. I am a man in Christ. I am a man free from sin. And that gets, so to speak, burnt into our inner image of ourselves. It has to become more than just the way God sees us. It has to be the way we see us.
Yes, amen.
And so we were reading there, I guess if you want to start there, it would be a good place tonight, 2 Corinthians
this morning. We were looking at that where it talks about verse number 10, talks about verse number 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. There's more to cast in the Bible than casting down wrong imaginations. In fact, the way we really cast down wrong imaginations is replace them with the right ones. It's not just I'm going to wash myself from the wrong imaginations. It's replacing those imaginations or images of who we are. Because the devil wants you to keep going back to the same squalor and then tell you, see, that's who you are.
Yes, sir.
That's who you are. You're just that kind of a pervert.
Yes, sir.
And he wants to try to, he wants to ingrain that into you because you've fallen in it several times or more than one time. And then accuse you and tell you that's who you are. You're going to be like the rest of your, that way the rest of your life. You'll never be free. You're different than other people. All those people at church, all those men at church, they're free, and you're not, and you know you're not, and you're not like them, and you're different. He's working on that imagination, trying to get you to believe a lie. You know what I'm talking about? And tell you you're bound. And if you'll believe it and let that imagination in, that's how he's doing it. That's how he's holding you in bondage. The very thing that he's using against you, take it and take God's word and put God's imaginations and God's images of who you are in you, and that'll be the very thing that keeps you free.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So he says here, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. This is a huge weapon is taking God's image of who you are and washing yourself with it. Washing yourself with it. Wash it. In other words, rather than fight the darkness, just keep taking in the light.
Amen.
Just keep shining the light. This is who I am. And the devil says, no, you're not. You're this. And you say, shut up. The Word of God. The Word of God says I'm free. The Word of God says I'm created in righteousness and true holiness. But see, if you don't have the Word in you, if you don't meditate in the Word and know the Word, know who God says you are, know who He said He made you in Christ, well, you're going to take a lie. You're going to accept a lie.
Right. Yes,
amen. So that's what I want to spend some time on tonight. Is that all right?
Yes,
praise the Lord. This is really what you know, I'm not saying that I never get tempted with lust. Any red-blooded American male has got any kind of testosterone in his blood at all gets tempted. But I'm not falling for it, and I'm not bound by it, you know, like I used to be. But this, what I'm saying is, this is what really put the nail all the way into the devil's coffin, clinched it on the other side, is when I found out who I am, and I washed myself with that. I'll never forget one of the first times that I was tempted after I started really getting a hold of who I was. It rose up so big on the inside of me, and I said, that's not who I am. And the power of that thing, that day, the power of it, I didn't say it never came after that, but the power of it was broken.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because it came up out of me. The Word finally got on the inside of me, and it came up out of my, and I said, that's not who I am. And I looked the other way, and I went down the road going, whoa, that's me. This is, look how that worked. You know, when you've been taken by the nose like a bull and you've been led around for years, and all of a sudden the Word of God broke that thing off of your nose and you make a decision against that thing, you go, whoa, I'm free, man. Glory to God. I can tell I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. So let's look at that a little bit. Would that be all right?
Amen.
Now, first, we were there this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. This is that verse that, while you're turning there, let me say this. The imagination, notice he said casting down there in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations. Those, and then he said strongholds and thoughts. Those are things that get built into the soul and the mind of a man. These are not things that get into a man's spirit. They're in the soul. And listen, let me say this. When we were made new creations in Christ, we were made in the image of God. Whenever God created man in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And then the New Testament says, we were created, if you put, because Ephesians and Colossians are sister books, and Paul kind of wrote the same thing to both groups, both cities and churches in the city. But he said, in Ephesians, he said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When he got to that point in Colossians, he said, which in the image of God. After God means in the image. So when we were born again, the image of God, I believe it includes the way we are, we stand erect and not like an animal. And we, you know, I believe it includes, I believe God looks like a man, not that he is a man, but he has the form of a man. In other words, we have his form is a better way to say it.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. But the image of God is much more than that. It is, because when Adam was created, he wasn't created as a sinful creature, sinful being. He was created righteous, and he was created holy. He was clothed with the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And that man that God made didn't have a sinful nature. He was created in righteousness and holiness. When we got born again, that's what came into our spirit. The old man passed away. The new man is created, Ephesians said, in righteousness, in the image of God, or after God, in righteousness, in true holiness. So we are in the image of God. In other words, we have the nature of God in our spirits. And that's a holy nature. God is a holy God. Remember the Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. But aren't you glad he just didn't say, now you do that, but I'm not giving you any power to live that way. No, there's power to live clean. There's power to live pure. There's power to live holy. I'm so glad I'm not on my own in this. Because this was one of those strongholds in my brain. Had a hook in my brain. It could just lead me wherever it wanted to go. I'm so glad I found the power that set me free. But we have a part in this. He didn't say, you know, you're created and you're created in the nature and image of God and you can't sin. He said, no, put on the new man. Yeah. Let's go back there. I keep wanting to go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to get to 1 Peter. I just want you to see something in the context of what he said there, put on the new man. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 4, excuse me. Ephesians 4, 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful, anybody turn there yet? Lust. There's a word, deceitful. Paul talks about lust being deceitful. David told Solomon the same thing about, he called her the strange woman. The Amplified says the loose woman. You know, she flatters with her tongue and so forth, and she's deceitful.
Yes, sir.
You know, she says, we'll have pleasure. And then you know, her house leads to hell, you know. He's talking about that. So these deceitful, put off this old man, corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we were just referring to, after or in the image of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice he said, put off the old man that was corrupt and unholy, put on the new man which was created in holiness. That we're made the new man on the inside, but we've got to put that on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody said, please tell me how to do that. Well, he did.
Yes.
Look at it again. Look at verse says, put off the old man. Verse 22, put off the old man. Verse 24, put on the new man. But what's sandwiched right in the middle of that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, my goodness. Here's how you do it. You get your mind renewed. And that's not just learning to think right thoughts. Those thoughts produce images. In other words, those thoughts, you know from James chapter number 1, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your souls. He's talking about the same renewing of the mind there. And then he said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer. He's like a man looking or beholding at his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Isn't that right? Okay. He says, don't just be hearers, be doers. Be doers. He said, because a man who hears and doesn't do, he's like a man looking in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he sees. So let me ask you something. When you hear, what does he tell you you're doing? You're seeing. God's word, he's talking here, the mirror is the word. God's word has images in it. You might say pictures in it. God has, in the epistles, God has described the new creation in such detail that you can identify yourself. You can say, look at that. I'm righteous and truly holy.
Yes, sir.
This new man, you know, you can find yourself in the New Testament. Jesus found himself in the New Testament. I mean, excuse me, the Old Testament, actually. He found himself. And so when you look in the Word, he said, if you hear and don't do, you're like a man beholding in a mirror. So he's saying, hearing the Word is like looking into a mirror. You can see an image. You can see an image. And the image that's in the Word is the image God has of you. Amen. And that's what he says, take that and let the image I have of you become the image you have of yourself. That's what renewing the mind is all about. And that doesn't happen just because you go to church. It happened because you meditate on the word yourself and get that so burnt. And notice he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Yes, sir.
The engrafted word. If you, because I, you know, like some of you seen, I've got some apple trees on the land, and I was just out at the, what do you call those stores? You buy the apple trees and shrubs and stuff. Greenhouse, yeah, there's places. I was looking this year at some new ones, and they're real popular now. They take the stub of a trunk of an apple tree, and they'll graft, it's whatever, take a name of an apple, and they'll graft two other kinds of apples, branches into that tree. So that tree has a graft of two other kinds of apples. One branch will be the native kind of apple. It'll produce the native kind of apple. They took another branch from another tree. One of them I noticed was Honeycrisp, and they grafted it into that tree in another place and then took another branch of another tree, something like, I don't know, some other kind of, you know, Fiji apple or something, you know, different kinds of apple, and it put another graft. So now that's going to, and they wrapped that thing. They cut that branch open on the main tree, stuck that branch, you know, the new tree in there, that from another brand, and wrapped it until that branch grew into that tree. Yes, that new branch grafted in, grew in. That's engrafted in. Those that trunk and that new branch now are one. Amen. That's what he's saying. You got to do with the word. You got to become one with it, believe it, speak it as if it's actually you. You're one with it, and it's one with you. So you look in here, and you see you. This is me. Somebody said, well, the word reveals Christ. Yeah, it does. And you in him. And you in him. And you in him. And you'll see yourself as somebody who's, like when lust tries to get a hold of you, trying to hold you in bondage, say, see, this is who you are, tries to lead you by the nose. You say, that new image of who you really are has gotten on the inside of you, and you rise, something rises up like it did in me. That's not me anymore. Yeah. That's not me anymore. Oh, the day that happens. Now, that doesn't mean it's all over. You never have to fight the good fight of faith after that, but you just keep holding that light up to the devil. Holding that light up to the devil. Holding that light up to the devil. Praise the Lord. Okay, now back to 1 Peter, if you are still there. Chapter 1, verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, we know the loins are a part of man's anatomy. It's the reproductive part. Amen. And it's the part that's involved in intercourse that a man plants seed into a woman, and the woman conceives. Not trying to be you know, graphic, but I think we need to understand what he's saying here. I mean, really, sex isn't dirty in the marriage. It's. I mean, you know, we all ought to thank God for it. We wouldn't be here without it, you know. And so, but what he's saying is, notice he didn't say just the loins, gird up your loins, and make sure you don't get undressed with another woman. He said the loins of your mind.
Yes, sir.
The loins of your mind. Now, what does that mean? What he's saying is that the mind, just like the loins, can reproduce after your kind. Everything produces after its kind.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Just like you can produce after your kind through the loins, your mind can reproduce what it sees through the eye gate and gets into your mind and the images it puts in there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he said, gird them up. Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, pay attention to what gets planted in your mind.
Yes, sir.
Because you're going to produce after that. Listen, it's not who you are, it's who you imagine yourself to be that determines who you become in life. When a seed of an imagination of you're bound, you're always going to be this way, you're bound with lust, you're bound with bondage, you're bound to pornography, you're bound. When that gets in there and that image or imagination gets into your mind and is fed through, you know, speaking it, saying it, believing it, so forth and so on, and gets watered, it becomes clearer and clearer to your imagination that you're bound. Even though whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The Bible says the exact opposite. It says you're free, not bound. Even though that Jesus set you free, yet your experience in life will be bondage because that's the image that got on the inside of you. So, I don't know if you've noticed, the devil fights overtime to keep an image, the wrong image of who you are, to keep you conscious of something other than what Jesus said you are. Anybody notice that? He's always working saying, you're this, you're that. You know, you'll never change. Your daddy was this way. He had pornography in the house, and you're this way, and, you know, and it's never going to change, and your kids are going to be this way. And he just lies. Amen. So when he said, you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free, you can see what he means then. When you find the truth and you hold fast to it with the confession of your lips and you take God's word and engraft it into you of who you are. Now, I say into you, I'm not just talking about your spirit, although that's true, but I'm talking about in your imagination. And you say, no, I see my... When we say imagination, we're talking about the way we see ourselves. I see myself free. I see myself free. That's the big, that's I was going to say 50% of the battle. That's 75% of the battle right there. Seeing yourself free. Somebody said, but I'm not. But the Bible said you are. The Bible said you are. Now, who are you going to believe? That's where the battle really, really is. Who are you going to believe? We just, I told you I told you Wednesday night. About if you were in service, maybe some of you were in youth or something. But I told the church about the airplane, the aircraft that we partially own now. And but I haven't shown anybody other than Brother Justin. I don't know if anybody else has seen the picture of it, maybe a person or two. And so you could go down to the airport that it's parked at, and you could say, I don't know which one it is. But if I describe it, if I say it's a Piper, Arrow, isn't it an Arrow? What's the number? I don't remember the, there's a number after it. If I told you the color, told you how the wings are attached, you know, low or high. If I told you it's a single engine, I told you, and I just kept telling you, you know, more and more. The more I describe it, the more you see it on the inside. And then whenever you go down to the airport and you actually see it with your physical eyes, you can say, oh, yeah, that's the one right there. although you've never seen it before. Right? That's what God did right here. He describes you in detail. He described the new creation, and one of the things he said is, you're free.
Amen.
Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And so forth and so on. You got to get all those things planted on the inside of you. And so when you see that, you identify yourself because you already, the Word put that image on the inside of you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, like I said here, the loins of a man are the part that's involved in intercourse through which a woman conceives. And he's saying your mind can conceive things that it sees through the eye gate and then from then on, imagine it. I was talking this morning about that on the negative side. You can see pornography as a child, and those images just keep haunting you. Because really, there's a spirit. Lust is of the flesh. Well, really, Satan has lust as well, the Bible said. But Satan will energize those things. He'll give you a supernatural ability to recall things that reinforce that lust. But he's only using something that God gave you to actually keep you free. He's just using it against you. You can take it and use it for you. By taking in through your eye gate, your ear gate, your mind, and into your imagination who God says you are. And that becomes so real to you. And so you become so full of that, that actually comes into your experience. Something you didn't have the power to stop doing, that will give you the power to stop doing it.
Amen.
And listen, you're free to the degree of how clear this image of the Word of God is on the inside of you. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But truth comes into our spirits by degrees. Come on. We see more and more light, more and more truth, more and more revelation of who we are in Christ, more and more of who He is to us, more and more revelation of our nature and so forth. That comes into us by degrees. The Bible said the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. In other words, from one degree of faith to another degree of faith. You might have gotten a revelation, but there maybe that you're free, but there's more revelation of that very truth that you are free sitting here right now. There's more revelation. And the more real that gets to you, revelation means make real. The Holy Spirit's job, I like what Pastor Hernandez said this morning, the Holy Spirit's job is to make it real. He'll bring it home to you, although you heard people talking about it. Now, to you, it's more real to you because the Holy Spirit, through the Word, made it real. Hallelujah. And the degree that it's real is the degree that you're free. That you experience the freedom, I should say. Hallelujah. And that reality has to be refreshed regularly. It can't be just, I saw that once back in 1997. I saw it, that I'm free. Well, it has to be continually refreshed.
Yes,
continually refreshed.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so you can't just coast, you know what I mean? Just, you know, I mean, what we saw in 97 helped us back then. And maybe to a degree is helping us today. But it's got to be continually refreshed and continually get that revelation on the inside of
yes,
us.
Sir.
And the degree that it's on the inside of us is the degree of freedom that we're experiencing, even from this stuff that we're talking about. Amen?
Amen?
So can you see how the devil's just simply using something that, you know, that really God gave us to keep us free? If you realize that, you realize, aha, I just found the answer of how to walk free.
Amen?
So really the only power Satan has in our life to hold us in bondage is the power we give him through an unrenewed mind, which is just simply through our own thoughts or the thoughts that the devil brings to us. So I know in time past, and there's a degree, I guess, of this that's appropriate, But I've gotten real mad at the women who dress wrong. And there's a degree that there's a righteous indignation towards that. I mean, some of them need to wake up. I mean, I sicked my wife on a lady in church one day. I said, I'm not going after her. I'm taking my wife's going to her. She sat down in church, and she's no longer in church, by the way. She sat down in church and crossed her legs, and you could see all the way to China. And she knew what she was doing, facing me. So I sicked my wife on her. My wife walked over there with a cloth, right in the middle of the service with a cloth, and put it over her knees so it draped all the way down to her ankles. She looked like a Mennonite. You know what I'm talking about? Draped down. And she didn't last more than another week or two, and she was gone. We didn't condemn her. We just helped her out and said, no, we're not allowing that here. And some ladies know exactly what they're doing, but there might be a place for righteous indignation toward that. But I don't get as mad at them as I used to, because I can stay free regardless of what they do. I got the power within me through the knowledge of God's word. I've got the power within me that it doesn't matter. Now, I'm not saying in church we ought to not have a standard. But, you know, out in the world, they're not church people. What are you supposed to do, run around the mall and say, you need to cover up. See, you need the devil cast out of you. You ain't got no clothes on, girl. No, they need Jesus. They don't need to preach the clothesline sermon. They need Jesus. No wonder they're living that way. They don't have him. So you got to be free. Your freedom has to be internal, not based on everybody outside's, you know, covering up and look like a Muslim, you know, their faces are covered. Our freedom is based on the image God gave us of who we are. Oh, I like it. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you can be a Christian. Can you see that you can be a Christian? You can be spirit-filled, and you still can be bound in your mind. Can you see that God didn't do something with our minds, that there's something we got to do with our minds? Amen. And these bondages in the mind, these bondages to lust and torment and so forth, they can be cleansed out. They can be washed out with the water of the Word. And God put in the new images and new thoughts. Amen. So let's go to here to pick this up. God's image of you is in His Word. We've said that. And Jesus, when He taught, He told parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And He told stories, you know, fishnets, you know, seeds and things that people understood in that day. And He used natural illustrations to illustrate spiritual truths. And that way people could get it, because they understood the natural thing He was talking about and how that works. And the parable of the sower was all about a seed and the different challenges it has, whether it be rocks or weeds or whatever. Too much sun, all that. If you understand, because they lived in a farming society, if you understood planting seeds, you understood exactly what Jesus was saying about how the Word of God works. Yep. It's got to get planted, and it's got to be watered. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. So, but Jesus told parables because, really, when you tell stories or tell a parable is just a natural truth laid beside a spiritual truth to help understand the spiritual truth. When you tell stories like that, people go, oh, I get it. Right? How many of you know that's helped all of us? We get it because people have preached and said it's like this, you know, just like Jesus did. And so when Jesus would tell stories, we would say things like this. We would say, I see it. People would say, I see it. Well, He didn't have a video screen up showing a picture or a picture of anything. He painted pictures with words. Didn't He?
Yes, sir.
And that's what those parables were. They were telling stories that gave understanding, and people could see it.
Yes, sir.
I sat through algebra class, and that teacher sat up there and kept saying words and kept saying words, and I didn't see the picture. I just didn't see the picture. I said, Jesus, you get me through here. At least get me a C. I'll go preach. I promise you, I'll go preach. Now, I should go back now maybe and do it with the power of God and with the confession of faith that I understand, and I could do it. But back then, I didn't understand all that. So those words, they paint pictures. Isn't that right? And the Word of God is giving us pictures of who we are. But we got to get the true Word of God, because if you go to the wrong place and get taught, you can get the wrong picture. Like, well, I'm bound. Then they'll say, yeah, you're bound. When really, you're free. He hath delivered us from the authority of darkness. You can see every time you say see darkness in the New Testament, you can say, he's delivered me from the power or authority of lust. Because that's darkness. It's certainly not light. So you could put those kinds of things in there. And like, for example, you could take 1 John, what is that, 2:12, 12:13 down through there. I've spoken unto you, young men, you know, because the Word of God has gotten into you. You remember that? 1 John 2, what, verse 12 or something like that, verse 10, something like that. The Word of God in you, and verse 12, how does it say it? I spoke just the second half. I've spoken unto you, young men. I'll read the King James. It's not verse 12. What am I looking at? 1 John 2. What is it? 14. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. The Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. When you read wicked one there, you could just write a line, push a line up front over that, and write lust. In other words, Let's take the Word into the area that Satan's trying to bind us with. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You understand that? Yes, sir. So when the wrong things are taught, if people say, you know, like Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach them all to say, well, I'm an alcoholic. And they teach them to say that for the rest of their life, directly against God's Word. You should not be going around saying, I'm addicted to pornography. Or I'm addicted to lust or something like that. We were using those terms this morning. That was only to help us understand some things. I wasn't holding you there. You know what I'm talking about? We got to get over into the New Testament and wash our minds with whether we're really free or not, or we're bound or not. So you can take those truths and like that verse, the Word of God got into me, and I have overcome lust. Yes, I'm strong. Yes. What? Strong to stand against lust. Amen. Hallelujah. And begin to say those kinds of things. And that reality will be reinforced by the confession that we make and by taking and really meditating on these things. Because the meditation of these things is something I think that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to reveal spiritual truths to us. Because you can go to church and hear it preached and walk out and let it slip. It's got to be engrafted in. Does that make sense? Engrafted in. Hallelujah. But like I said, wrong teachings, when you get wrong teachings and teachings that just hold you in bondage, like, well, yeah, you're a porn addict and so forth, and not the new creation realities, those teachings are like going to the fair. I've used this illustration many times, and looking in one of those distorted mirrors. You know, you pay to go in, and it's a mirror that makes you look like 3 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. It's distorted. The mirror is distorted, and it gives you a distorted image. When you hear the wrong kind of teaching, it gives you a distorted image of who you are. It's not who God sees you to be. Amen. Amen. So we got to get the right picture of ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's only through the truths of God's Word. So one moral failure or one episode of looking at pornography has never made a man to be bound. I'm talking about a believer now, a Christian. Has never made him a failure and made him to be bound. But sometimes that situation, failure that he fell into, formed an image of himself. And the devil started saying, see, you're addicted. They believed it, and it reinforced it, and the condemnation of it gave him a wrong image of himself. Do you realize condemnation will distort your image? Distort the image of who you really are? And that failure, although that didn't make you, that didn't bind you, the image that it started to build in you, in your imagination, gave you a different outlook on yourself and saw yourself as a failure. And those things are what actually make the man a failure. Although he's really not, but in his experience, he now believes he's a failure. He now believes he's unclean. He now believes he's bound to pornography. Because the devil has convinced him of it. And he now thinks he is. Wrong thinking will create wrong believing. You can be convinced of something and then find out later it was never so. You ever been convinced somebody didn't like you? And then they did something that made you realize, oh my goodness, they really appreciate me. See, just because you thought they didn't like you didn't make it reality. But you could be convinced it was reality. I mean, that's all immature stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's word will not only show you Christ, it'll show you your right self. It'll give you the right self-image. And the devil, this is not something that you and I are just to remind ourselves of when we go to church. Because pornography kind of sits back while you're at church. It's when you're all by yourself at home. You don't have anything to do. All your work's done. The bills are all paid. Your wife went shopping for groceries. Now's the time to fight the good fight of faith and say, no, I'm a free man. I'm a holy man. I'm created in righteousness and true holiness. You get too much time on your hands. I know it from experience personally and talking to others. You get too much time on your hands, and that's when the devil comes and tries to creep in on you. But that's when you really got to tell the devil and tell and answer these temptations. Right. Amen. So once a image is formed within a man, good or bad, a man will seldom have an experience outside of that. I want that to sink in. Once an image is formed inside of a man, good or bad, he will seldom have an experience outside of that imagination. Things will come. Now, I'll tell you, this has worked for me concerning prosperity. Well, it's worked for me in this area of lust, too, but it's worked for a lot of areas. But as long as I saw myself as poor and struggling, I stayed that way. But the Lord one day said to me, he said, prosperity doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. It begins when my word finds a home in your heart. Yes, what's he talking about? He's talking about that word getting in there and creating an image of being blessed and rich on the inside of you. So I realized I was praying all the time for God to do something for me financially, and he was saying, get in my word. Let that image that's in my word of you get on the inside of you. It changed the way I walked. It changed the way I thought. I didn't see myself as a victim anymore without any opportunities and all that. I started seeing myself different. I started seeing myself rich because he made me rich. I mean, I sat in the car different, and I drove different. It changed me from the inside out. I saw myself different. And ever since that time, I have had very few experiences, and the ones that were there were very short because the image on the inside could not... that the experience on the outside could not get in and change the image on the inside. And everything that I was experiencing in life before was because of the image. That there were forces within me coming out reinforcing the poverty. But those forces within me changed because the image changed, and now it's reinforcing prosperity.
Yeah.
On the other side, there was very little that could change the broke condition. On this side, very little can do anything to change my prosperous condition. It comes, but the experience of it is just a little short passing thing. That it's absolutely amazing how true and real what I'm talking about is, and the power that's on the inside of it. The power in God's word to do things for you when it gets planted in you and creates the right image and causes you to act that way. It's not just the image, it's you acting that way. That power is the only thing I've found to set me free from the lustful thing I was bound with. And it'll do the same for you. Pastor, you don't know how far gone I am. I don't care. Listen, if you knew the weapons of your warfare, they're mighty! I mean, my wife and I, for our 25-year anniversary, because I'd been walking in this for years. You realize temptation always comes, you realize. But, you know, I'm not falling for it like I used to.
Right.
But we went to Hawaii for 10 days, actually in the country 10 days, 14, to get the whole trip and everything, 14 days. We were in the country for 10 days. And in Hawaii, people don't wear clothes. You know, they very little clothes. That's what I'm trying to say. And that was the coolest thing, to be in a place like that. Not because people didn't have clothes on, but the coolest thing to be in the middle of that and not be, and that thing not be in your nose. You know, where you're.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh my goodness, look at her. You know. The temptation comes, but you just have the power. No, that's not who I am. That new image got on the inside of me, and it's the coolest thing. I'm telling you what, if you've never experienced what I'm talking about, you have to pinch yourself. Is this really me? And the fact is, it's not. I mean, it's your new creation. Don't misunderstand. But it's not your flesh. Because your flesh gets an opportunity, you're gonna bug your eyes out and go for it, you know? There's not just freedom from jumping in bed with somebody that's not your wife. There's freedom from this torment. This hook in your brain dragging you around. I don't know if that makes sense to you. That makes sense to me because that's the way it was. It was like something was hooking me. Thank God I got that hook out.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I'll say it again. A man will seldom have an experience in life outside of those images that he's formed on the inside. You think about that and meditate on that. That'll fry your bacon tomorrow morning, I'll tell you. Your self-image can be distorted by lies or by the flesh or by condemnation. The devil will, you know, you fall looking at pornography or something. And the devil will come and say, and he'll jump on you with condemnation. See, your own spirit's convicting you, but the devil will jump on you with condemnation. That's different, but that's different than conviction. He'll jump on you with condemnation. And man, have you ever noticed the hammer comes down hard? Just this self-loathing and the hating of yourself and the you know, the disappointment in yourself. And boy, he comes. He comes, and he instantly, he got an opportunity. You gave him an opportunity. He instantly jumps on trying to get in there and change that image until you see you're bound. You'll never be free. And he goes down that rabbit trail again. Anybody know that?
Yes, sir.
And every honest man in here knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
And he'll start telling you you're bound. And what is that? Those are lies to distort the image of who you really are. And he came for that. Of course, you gave him an opportunity to. And he came for that. But you're going to have to, right there, repent, get it right, and then start addressing that wrong, that distortion of the image of who you are immediately.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't give it 10 seconds.
No, sir.
Because that thing starts working fast. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And if you're home alone, you got to stomp around the living room and say, I am righteous and truly holy. I've been created in the image of God. Sin has no dominion over me. I got the power. Grace has given me the power. Greater is He. And you got to start reminding yourself of who you are.
Amen.
Because He's trying to get back in to distort that image. And you can live under a distorted image for years and not even know it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Because there's only, and especially if you're not sitting under the Word. But if you're sitting under the Word, the Bible said the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword dividing soul and spirit and is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word is what shows these things up.
Yeah.
And unless you're sitting under the Word, you can have a wrong image of who you really are and you don't even realize it. So you're sitting in a service or listening to a CD or meditating on the Word, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I see I've been lied to my whole adult life. Devil told me something totally different than what I just saw. You know? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. There's a looking and seeing, but then you got to continue in that. Because that image you saw is reality. I'm talking about if you're meditating in the Word. That's reality. But you can walk away from that, go to work, get busy, get your mind on work or something like that, which is not evil. You know, you're just busy with other things. And you come home that night and you're like, what was that that I saw? I'm trying to remember, what was that the Lord showed me? He said, he's like a mirror. The guy that hears and doesn't do it, he's like a man looking in a mirror, goes his way and forgets. The devil's always after that image. He's always after that. He's trying to get you back under the image that's created in the dark room of your experiences in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You'll never establish the right images within yourself without continually confessing these things over yourself.
Yeah.
Say them about yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Say the truth.
Yeah.
Brother Copeland told a story about his mother. I love this story. She conducted a prayer group on the campus there or something. I don't remember the whole story, but Brother Copeland's mother was a godly Holy Ghost woman. And a Baptist pastor came and for healing, wanted her to pray for him for healing. And because he said, I was a diabetes or something like that. And she said, well, I'll pray for you, but tell me the truth about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He looked at her like, well, like I just said, it runs in my family and I have diabetes too. And I wanted you to pray for me that I'd be healed of diabetes. She said, well, now tell me the truth about it first. And he did not know what she was talking about. I said, I just told you the truth. She said, no, tell me the truth. But she got really mad. Tell me the truth about it.
Right.
And he said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, the Word says, by His stripes you're healed. That's the truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the truth.
Yes, sir.
You got to hold the devil in the arena of faith.
Yes.
Don't let him hold you in the arena of the flesh. And say, well, this is who you are. You're a pervert. No, I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen. You got to do it on purpose. Can't just wait to get to church. When pastor at the end says, stand up and make this confession, you can't wait for that. You got to do it all the time. Wash your own self with the water of the Word. Hallelujah. And so through meditating in the Word, being a doer of the Word, speaking the Word, these right images get put in you and the old images get washed out. So that it begins then to give you the power to walk out of the sin. Praise the Lord. So if this that I'm talking about this tonight is not important, ask yourself this question: why does the devil work so hard at this?
Right, right.
Why is he just insistently, continuously trying to put the wrong images of who you are in you? That's because he knows the power of this. Boy, if we just knew the power of it. Amen. Amen. This will work for race issues. If you don't see yourself as a victim, other people won't see you as a victim. Well, he went ahead and said it, Myrtle. Go home and tell your wife, Myrtle, he said it. He said it. Now, go over there, 2 Corinthians again, 4 or 10. We'll start to begin to commence to wrap this up. Praise God for the word. These things have assisted me immeasurably. And I can't emphasize it enough. Don't let anyone else tell you, the devil or anyone else tell you who you are. Well, they don't love me. They don't believe in me. Well, love yourself and believe in yourself.
Amen.
Love God, love his word, and love what he said about you. And just believe yourself. Well, I mean, thank God for reinforcement from other people. That's what local churches are all about. But bless God, if nobody else is there, pull yourself up by the word of God.
Amen.
Encourage your own self in the Lord.
Amen.
Well, my daddy said the wrong things over me. Well, your daddy ain't here no more. You're an adult now.
Amen.
Amen. He might have planted the seed, but you're responsible for the harvest.
Amen.
Whatever seed got planted, and he called, because I was raised, my dad, I don't mean to bash my dad, but his idea of training me was always telling me what I did wrong. You know, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. I don't remember a encouraging word, well, until later years. Later years, he really started growing spiritually. But up until I left for Bible school back when I was 18, I don't remember one single encouraging word of positive reaffirmation, you know. But I just got my mind renewed with the word. And don't hold it against him. That's why, that might be the first time you ever heard me say that. That's why you don't hear me say, well, I was a kid, I was scarred, and I was wounded, and nobody ever reacted. Well, I just got the word and said, well, I believe the word for myself.
Amen.
Encourage myself with the word. Used to be, I've told you many times, used to be if somebody didn't like me because of the way my father thought he was training me, by discouragement all the time. I used to get, you know, if somebody didn't like me, I felt bad for myself. But I got my mind renewed and somebody didn't like me, and now I feel bad for them.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that right, Brother Miles?
Yes.
They're a great loss if they don't like you. Isn't that right?
It's a great loss.
Yeah. That's a blessing. You're a blessing. Absolutely. You got to just get those images in you. Get your mind renewed. That's what this does. So, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, did I tell you to go there? These verses, chapter 10, 4 through 6, we've been looking at them, tells us, like we said a moment ago, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. Mighty. I want you to see that mighty part there. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. Now, these strongholds, and he goes on and talks about imaginations. If these things can be extremely powerful, I'm talking about negative or positive. We've been bound in the past, you know, through the enemy's strongholds in our minds. They can be extremely powerful, but the tools God has given us to overcome them and destroy them, actually, the Greek says demolish them, are more powerful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you could have a huge bad image of yourself, stronghold of bondage or lust or something like that, but it's nothing before the power of the images of the new creation. These things will demolish it. I remember Jesus one time saying he cast out devils with the finger of God. You ever read that? The arm of the Lord is a type of the strength of God. The hand of God is a type of the strength of God. Then Jesus said the finger of God. Well, the arm's stronger than the hand, and the hand stronger than the finger. When Jesus said he cast out devils, he did it with his finger. Ding, 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 ding. The images that have bound you in your mind are just that weak compared to the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The new creation realities get on the inside of you, and it'll take that image of lust and bondage in you and go, boing.
Amen. Amen.
It's powerless.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. They will bow to the Word of God if you'll stick with it. The devil will fight you. He'll keep trying to bring back old images. But you keep holding up the knowledge of the truth to the devil, and those wrong images will bow the knee. And they'll bow the knee and say, I surrender.
Right. Yes, sir.
Something more powerful than me has come against me.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Your first confessions of the Word may not be based on the reality of what you're saying within your own spirit. But you just take it and say it because you know the Word's true. That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Your first confessions might not have the reality of what you're saying in them. But if you hold fast to it, it'll dawn on you eventually.
Yes, sir.
It'll dawn on you. And the image, because you keep speaking it. See, that's faith. God honors faith. Faith is not just for healing. Faith is for being free from lust, you know.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But if you hold with it, that image will be perfected within you, and it'll dawn on you eventually more and more what you're saying. And when that reality comes and that new image of yourself hits your spirit, that's the day you just walk right out of it.
Amen.
Right out of the bondage.
Amen.
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 Praise God. That's the weapon of the warfare. It's powerful enough to do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so whatever strong, you might say, you don't know how strong this is. Well, you don't know how strong the one that was in my life was.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
My goodness. But I started seeing who the Bible said I was, and I started calling things that be not as though they were.
Right. Yes, sir.
It did not look like I was free, but I began to say I was.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so you can look, you know, the way God created the world, the Bible says the earth was out form and void and darkness was upon the deep. God looked over the world and it's all dark. No form to matter, no different types of creation, trees, animals, nothing like that. He looked at the world and it's dark. And he looked out over it and he said, actually the Hebrew says, light be. He's looking at darkness and speaking light. I said he's looking at darkness and speaking light.
Yes, sir.
What's he doing? Calling things that be not as though they were. That's what you do not only for healing, but that's what you do to be free from the bondage of lust. You start calling yourself free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so you can look at apparent defeat. You can look at what the world would call an addiction. You can look at and see all that and say, I'm free. What are you doing? You're calling things that be not as though they are. Hallelujah. And that begins its destructive work. It's destroying the old image. You know what I'm talking about? See, it all starts on the inside. Destroying the old image. And you keep speaking that light. Keep speaking that light. It starts destroying the old image. And then it starts revealing the new image. It starts revealing God's image because you're speaking His Word. Confession is not just for church. It's for living. Amen. And eventually, that new image will dominate the old image.
Right.
And it'll sort of just take over.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
Thank God. I'm telling you, I've as much as, you know, people sometimes they want a prayer line about this. They want a deliverance line about this. What I'm sharing tonight is where permanent, real freedom comes from.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's not going to always be an anointed man of God around to pray with you, lay hands on you and speak to that thing. Or, you know, we're here to help. But you understand, you're going to have to live this thing out with your own faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The devil is bidding real high for men in this era, this time. And he's repeatedly, you know, it's like going fishing. You're using flashy thing, that lure you put out there, it's flashy, and it's sometimes they make vibrating noises under the water that gets a fish's attention, or, you know, they make the little wiggles and stuff. That's something attractive to get that fish's attention, to get that fish to go for it. And that's what this lust thing is. It's the devil sticking this lure out here and going, look how shiny that is. What's he trying to do? It's not, he's not, that you're not putting that lure in front of that fish to feed that fish. You're going to catch him. You know what I'm talking about? You're going to, whenever you're up there in the boat and you feel that fish nibbling, you're going to go, and you're going to set the hook. And that's what the devil's doing. He's like this, and he's like, he's up here, he's like ready to set the hook. He feels you nibbling, and he goes, like that. He sets the hook, and then he's not done yet. He reels you in. Isn't that right? Gets you in the boat. Hits you in the head. Fillets you. Drops you in the grease. Puts salt and pepper on you. Louisiana hot sauce. And he's still not done. He's going to devour you. Swallow up your whole life. Amen? So he's bidding high. I mean, you guys, you put money into those lures, man. Amen. And so, and one of the ways he's bidden for men is through pornography. Because he wants to hold you in bondage. He wants to hold you in sin. He wants to hold you in condemnation and all those kinds of things. But you're on to him, aren't you? And whenever it's shiny and it has a good shape and boy, your flesh goes, uh-huh, I want that. You go, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. I am holy. He that has called me is holy, and I'm living in true holiness. I'm walking in true holiness. Amen. God's given me a command to be holy, and I'm living holy. I'm not sinning against the Lord. I'm not sinning against my wife and all those things, and I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I love God too much to do those things anymore. Amen. Hallelujah.